You are listening to a Central Life Christian Church presentation. For more information, visit centrallife.com.au.
Fails, never gives up.
It's good to be back. It's good to see all the smiling faces, and well done to the team who looked after the church. You know, Chris and I, we go on holiday and we have a bit of a break, and we try and have a really good break and not think too much about and worry too much about the church, so we come back refreshed. But I couldn't help myself, and I kept looking at Facebook to see how the church was going. And then I see this Mother's Day thing happening, and there's people out there with little baby dolls and there's dummies spinning. And I said, well, I don't remember saying you could have fun. But then I thought, no, I did say that. So there you go. I'm really, really glad that that you did have some fun and that the life of the church is evident to see. It's good. I want you to open up your Bibles, because that's what we do in this church. We open up our Bibles, and I want you to open up at the book of 1 Corinthians at chapter 14. Now, the last time we were in this book together, I was pointing you to the words of Paul at verse 26, and Ruth reminded us again when she was sharing that I was saying to you what Paul had done in this church was bring a bit of correction, bring a bit of adjustment. There were some things going well, some things not going so well, and what he does at the end at verse 26 is he encourages everybody to bring and share. He just says everyone should bring a psalm, a word of instruction, or a revelation about God. And if everyone does that, that becomes the body of Christ ministering to the body of Christ. And in that, the life of God is contained. Now, if we do this, if we pay attention to what God says about how a meeting should run and put aside the way we think it should run, things change. You know, we might like to think that, we've got a prescribed manner that has worked in the past. We've got a few ideas that might work in the future, and we try and do that as church. We will have a meeting, but we won't have church. Paul's way is a better way. Bring and share. Of course, that does require that we change a few things. We've got to try and adjust our mind to think about what will church be like if we actually did that. And I can tell you what it would be like when you walk through those doors and you bring and share together as a church. When you walk out again, you will walk out refreshed, because you would have met with God. And that's an awesome thing to do. And you think about that. Well, how am I going to get my neighbors? How am I going to get my friends? And how am I going to get my work colleagues into church? Because they need to go. They're not going to be persuaded, oh, the music's good, because they might not like that sort of music. They're not going to be persuaded by the preaching. They don't even believe in what the guy's saying. What they will be persuaded by is the refreshing on your life. And you'll be able to bring people in and say, come in here and watch your God do some extraordinary things. That's what bring and share is all about. And I see that that is an exciting future for this church. You know, when you pray, you meet with the God who sees the beginning from the end. And you may not know what the end is, but he does. And you begin to see things happen in churches, and over the years I've seen it, and in this church I can tell you there are some buds blooming, just some buds blooming. And when you talk to the God who sees the beginning from the end, he sees a whole field of flower, a whole field of fruit coming. And it's very, very exciting to be in Central Life Church, isn't it? I don't know why I'm going there, but I just felt like I should. All right, I'll remember how to preach again in a minute. I'll remember. We come to church to hear our God speak to us. That's an awesome thing. God speaks to his people. What's more, we come to church to be a part of what God wants to do. When God speaks, signs and wonders follow the word, and we can be a part of it. Every week, not just sitting passively, we can be thinking, what is God going to do in my life? And even more, when you understand it's bring and share, you can see yourself walking through that door and you know My job is not to sit here on this pew and do nothing. My job is to participate in setting people free, in healing people, and touching people that are hurt. How do you do that? Bring in chair, bring a little scripture. What God can do with that. That's what we've been talking about. That's church. Forget about all the lights. Forget about all of the music. Forget about all of the superstars up on the stage. We don't need good lighting to have good church, because we've got God who brings light into church and brings light into our life. We've got the Holy Spirit who is center stage. We don't need some performer, do we? When God is center stage. Now that's the kind of church I want to be a part of. Amen? All right. You might think of us, well, that means that God's going to be doing a lot more moving and we're going to be doing a lot less moving. We're going to see a lot more of the Spirit of God and a lot less of man. You might look at the church today and think, well, we're a long way from that. And that you're talking about something that's a way off and is hard to achieve. But I'm telling you this morning, from where we are now to where we need to go is a very small step. Very, very small. It is entirely achievable in a short space of time. Because the one thing that we need to do, all we're required to do to get from where we are to where we need to be, is to make room for the Spirit to move. Make room for the Spirit to move. Now, when I say that, 95% of people think, I know what he's talking about. He's going to have a break in the meeting where nothing happens. And we're all going to sit around and wait upon God. That's not what I'm talking about. When I say we need to make room for the Spirit of God, we need to make room up here. Up here. We've got to make some adjustments up here. Now, what sort of adjustments do we need to make? Well, we've turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to read from verse 1. And here our context, as I've said, Paul is addressing the church at Corinth. Things have gone crazy. The Spirit of God's everywhere. There's life everywhere. But it's gone so bad and so out of control that Paul has said to this church, your meetings are doing more harm than good. So we don't want that to happen. We want our meetings to do more good than harm. True? So what does he do? He starts to address a few things that aren't happening very well and curb some excesses, but he's also adding in some things. He's recommending to them that they do some things and do more of them. And verse 1, he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Now you talk about refreshing every week, coming to church, being strengthened, encouraged, and comforted. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Making room for the Spirit of God to move. What's Paul saying there? Very first verse is the key. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophesy. What does that mean? Well, you know, we saw this morning Anthony gets up and shares the word. We've seen, I've heard VB got up, prophesied over the church. I know there's others that do it quite regularly. And people love prophecy. Don't you love prophecy? You love it when God speaks. Yeah, I want to hear that. Well, eagerly desire means that you not only like that to happen, but you say, well, enough of Anthony. Thank you, God. I want to do that. I want to be the one who brings the word. I want to be the one who shares the scripture. That's eagerly desiring, because this says, Paul's writing to the whole church. He's not speaking to the leaders. He's not speaking to those who move in the office of the prophet. He's talking to everybody. So the attitude change we need, the small step we need, is just to say, hey, I want to do that. I want to be one who brings a scripture that sets someone free, that gets someone saved, that gets someone healed. I want to be that person. That's all we need. And that's pretty good, isn't it? What does a church like that look like? Well, when worship's on, when the preaching's on, whenever, you've got people queuing up with their Bibles open with a word. And they're all queued up waiting for their turn to share what God has put on their heart. And you've got this continual feeding, bringing and sharing. And every one of us sees in parts. Everyone's got a small part of the picture. And what happens is this great tapestry is built of what God wants to do that day. And good leaders pick up the words and they take the meeting in different directions. And it happens, the life of the Spirit opens up to us as a church. Eagerly desire to do that. It takes a little bit, doesn't it? Because when I'm saying that, everyone's saying, not me, I'm not going to do it. Yes, eagerly desire. You cannot beat the feeling of knowing that you shared one simple scripture and it touched someone's life and they gave their life to the Lord and they go on to live a great life. Someone probably shared a word to Billy Graham and he went on to be one of the greatest evangelists in the world. That potential is in each and every one of us. Isn't that amazing? Who wants to do it? A few. Well, I tell you what we need to do. To release this thing in the church, the first step is we all need to be on the same page as to what prophecy is. Because we all come from different backgrounds. Some have come from churches that were very prophetic. Some have come from churches where if anyone did that, they would have been marched, tarred and feathered out of the church, never to be seen again. What is prophecy? Is that the only time that operates is when the big name prophet comes to town? Or is it something that every believer can do? What are we talking about? Well, I want to demystify prophecy this morning, so we all are on the same page, so we all know what's going to happen on Sunday night when we do our meeting. Now, most people don't prophesy or are afraid to prophesy because they think prophecy is up here and they are down here. They think that the words they get are sort of B-grade words, whereas the words the prophets get, they are gold. They are what God really uses. And you're just sort of someone that I couldn't find a prophet. They were all busy this morning, so I used Keith. You know, it's not like that at all. Prophecy is different. And we get a little bit confused between the work of the prophet and the office of the prophet. Now, God has given us fivefold ministries. You read in Ephesians chapter 4, you'll see that Jesus gave these gifts to the church. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And these guys and girls are equipped for a reason. They come into the church and they're given to the church to equip the church for the work of the ministry. Now that means if you've got a fivefold evangelist, they're coming into church. Their job is not to get everyone saved. Their job is to teach you and equip you with that heart of the evangelist. They impart that to you. So you go out and you do it. And that means when a prophet comes, and a prophet comes into town, their job is to equip you with how to do it. Impart to you the ability to prophesy in church. And where it's gone wrong is that we've got big name prophets in the kingdom of God that are given to us by Jesus Christ, and we've turned them into celebrities. We've turned them into performance shows. And you'll see, you know, the flyers go around. So-and-so's coming to town. Come along and get your word. And these guys, they come in. They're not actually there to equip the church. They're there to put on a show. And that's really, really dangerous to see that sort of stuff. And the church has built these guys into celebrities. And everybody then thinks, well, this prophetic word thing is up here. I can't do that. So when it says eagerly desire to be a prophet, It doesn't connect. I don't want to do that. Now, you see, these people can do that because they're anointed to do that. They're equipped to do that because when God calls the prophet, he gives them the ability to do it because they have to teach others how to do it. Just doing it and saying, I'm a prophet and listen to me prophesy over you is a wasted gift. I'd be very wary of a prophet that did that. Very wary. Because they are there to do a job to equip others. And when you are there in those sorts of meetings, what happens is you walk away feeling very inadequate. Because some of these guys and some of these girls are quite accurate and they're quite phenomenal in what they can do because they're gifted by God. And you walk away and think, well, why can't I do that? I know this God. Eagerly desire to prophesy. I can't do that. You feel inadequate. Or then you look at the leaders that you've been given in the church. Huh, we've got a B grader. He can't do that. He didn't go to Bible college. He never did to the school of prophecy or whatever he was supposed to do. He can't do it. Second rate leader. Now you see, it's all confused between the office of the prophet and those who prophesy. And if you can remember this one thing, every prophet that is called to be a prophet prophesies. But everyone who prophesies is not necessarily a prophet. But they can do the same thing. They can bring the same word. And so you can prophesy. And you can do the work of a prophet. So that's what we're talking about. We don't want people thinking that we're encouraging people to prophesy and therefore you're signing up to be called a prophet. And if you get it wrong, we'll stone you. And you know that you're going to be asked to do all sorts of weird stuff. You ever read the Old Testament? Ever realize what the Old Testament prophets used to do? Some of them had to walk around with no clothes on. You're thinking, oh, I'm not going to be prophesying, thank you very much. Now, God's not going to ask you to do weird stuff. Certainly not in this church. We're all keeping our clothes on, all right? But that's the difference between the office of a prophet and one who prophesies. So we're talking about just being yourself and prophesying. I think what also holds people back is a lack of understanding of what is the prophetic. What is a prophetic word? Some people know, some people don't. What are we talking about when we say we want to be a prophetic people? Well, there's three kinds of prophecy that you'll find in Scripture. And the first lot is the sort of glamorous one. And this is the one that everybody seeks out because it's about foretelling the future. You know, a good, accurate prophet, a good prophetic word will foretell the future. And don't people love knowing the future? You know, there's a whole lot of newspapers with star signs and all that people want to know, you know. Go get tarot card readings and all of this stuff from the demonic. Why do they do that? What draws them? They want to know the future. Now, we as God's people know the God, as I said this morning, who knows the beginning from the end. We as God's people can know what God wants to do in the future. And that aspect of our prophecy is something we need to develop and something we need to see in our church. Foretelling the future. Now, most of it has to do with the kingdom of God. You've got a few people that hold the office of the prophet that speak over nations, but they are very, very few. Most of it is about what God is doing with his people. And we're hearing what God is going to do with groups of people and individuals. That's foretelling the future. Now, have we ever seen it in this church? Yes, we have. You know, when we were in Sparks Road, who was in Sparks Road with us? You know, remember we cleaned all that building up and, you know, got all the mold out and kicked the rats out and everything else. And we moved in and we thought we were pretty chuff in there. It was pretty cool. Very cool, in fact. We got in there and then we invited Sheena Ryan, who's a recognized prophet across the world, come in. Sheena comes in and we're thinking, well, she's going to love our building. She's really going to be, you know, this is going to where we're going to take off. And the first thing she says is, I see you in a new building. What's she talking about? We as a church are in a new building. She did that well before anything happened to make us move here. And why did she do that? Well, she was just honoring God And God wanted us to know, particularly as the leaders, when things went south really quick with the building, that he had a place for us. Don't worry. I didn't listen. Hair went grey. But, you know, God was encouraging us as a people. And God will disclose to us as his children what he wants to do with us as a people. And that's got to be good news. So you can get a word for the church, a group of people. But you can also get a word for individuals. I remember this guy, Keith Outchen, your Keith Outchen. He's preaching, mid-preach, mid-sentence. He's kind of out here as he is. And he stops and he points to my daughter sitting in the congregation. And he says, God's going to buy you a new car. And then he carries on preaching. Now my daughter, you know, she says in her heart as the faith wells up, sure he is. And what had happened, we'd just been robbed, you see. We'd just been, she had a car stolen. It got wrecked down in southwest Sydney somewhere. And we were struggling to find the gap between what the insurance company said it was worth and all of those problems and getting loans and the whole bit. And we couldn't make the sums add up. And then one day we went past the new car dealership. And they had this special on and a 1% finance deal. So I did the sums and I said, you know, Elish, you'd be far better off buying a new car. You know, you'd be hundreds ahead, thousands over the life of the car. Sure enough, 2 days later, we go in, we do the sums, we're signing. She drives out in a new car. Prophetic word. God speaks over her to bring her comfort in a time of distress, happened because one man was bold enough to interrupt the preaching and deliver it. He needed no special gift. Keith does not put out flyers. Keith Outchen, part-time prophet, you know. He didn't do that. Just himself. New money-making ventures. Just being himself, just ministering, walking in God, being obedient, hears God speak, delivers it. Any one of us can do that. And you'd be thinking there, oh, I wouldn't mind a word like that. You know, I could do with a new car. Don't forget, oh, you also got robbed, all right, to get to that point. Be careful what you pray for. But that's it. You know, a word for telling the future. Now, I only want to just bring a little bit of a caveat, if you know what a caveat is. On that, when we are bringing words of direction, because that's what it is, it's telling people about the future, what God is going to do in your life, there are some safeguards we need to remember. And if you get a word, you know, a bit like the word I had for the church this morning, just to share it over the church, if it contains any direction, you need to make sure that there's leaders present. Now, why do you do that? First of all, what's a word with direction? You might think God's been stirring you up, and you might think that Central Life should go on a fast. You know, that we should all go on a fast, you know, for 3 years or whatever. No, we're going on a fast, and it's going to be like the Daniel fast or something like that. And you want to give that word. You get up there as a member of the church. God has spoken to you, and you do that. You give direction to the church. Trouble is this. God gives the responsibility of leading this church to the leaders, to the pastors. And he holds us accountable. Now, when you get to heaven, all you believers, you're going to all pass before the Lord on that great day, and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, well done, VB. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, Sose. Well done, Maria. And then Keith's going to come along. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful, Keith. And Keith's going to be going off, excuse me. And by the way, what did you do with the people I gave you? And now Keith has to stand there like I will, Anthony will. And we give an account of what we taught you, where we took you, and how we loved you, cared for you, nurtured you. Because a leader is responsible for the direction the church goes, the doctrine it teaches, and the discipline of the church, how it holds itself together. So we've got to do that. So when it comes to giving direction of the church, you've got to make sure that the leaders are on board. And if you've got any doubt, you just quietly go to a leader. Say, look, I'm feeling this. I think we should all go on a fast. Leaders will soon tell you, I think we should too, or no, I don't think we should. And what does that do? It safeguards the church. The ones who are accountable to God make those sorts of calls. Doesn't mean you can't bring the word, but you've got to understand that we lead the church and we will protect you. And when those doors are open, you know, someone can come in and begin to say all sorts of things over you, we will protect you with that caveat. So that's good. The other thing is about personal prophecy. When you give a directional word over someone's life, make sure a leader is present, or if they're not present, both come to a leader afterwards and say, well, you know, I've got this this word for this person. I shared it with them. Weigh it up. Why? Same reason. Well done, good and faithful servant, good and faithful servant, good and faithful servant. Why did you let that woman say that to the leader? See, we hold that accountability. And that's another reason you shouldn't just go off to different prophets that breeze into town, breeze out of town, and soak up all of the words that they give you. Ooh, that's cool. Oh, I'm gonna make Paul jealous, you know, with what God's gonna do with me. No accountability, no leadership. That's God's way, that's God's way of protecting. So that's personal prophecy. And can I also add, when you get a personal prophecy, it shouldn't be a surprise. Usually it's something God's been stirring in your heart, something that you're probably just not unsure about, and God will just send someone along with a word or a scripture, and it will confirm what God has already told you. Prophecy is dangerous in the wrong hands, but beautiful and safe and encouraging and comforting and empowering in the right hands. We don't want people coming around, and I've seen it in churches where, you know, someone comes up and says, oh, well, God's told me to marry you, but I'm already married. Well, you better go and get a divorce, because God's spoken to me and you're going to be my wife. You know, you think that's funny. That happens in churches. And that should never happen in churches. And we as leaders are going to make sure it doesn't happen in church, not in this church, because you people are too precious for that sort of thing. Anyway, that's foretelling the future. Second kind of prophecy is telling forth the word. And that's really more common in a church meeting than the other kind. And it's not less glamorous. It's actually more powerful. Because a lot of what God wants to say to his people, he's already said. It's here, all in here. And what we do is we read the Bible and we wait on God, and that's why a lot of waiting on God is done out there. I wait on God when I'm in the traffic. I wait on God when I'm on the beach. I wait on God when, you know, I'm laying in my bed. That's when I wait on God. And God will remind me, and when I'm in the Word, he'll show me scriptures, and I think, whoa, that's good. I'm going to share that with God's people. That sort of thing, that's telling forth the word, and it's using an inspired word from the Bible. And the word of God works with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God works with the word of God and God's man. So it's a beautiful partnership. God's word, God's spirit, God's man or woman. So every one of us can slot into that place and say, well, okay, God, you've given me this scripture. It makes no sense to me, but I'm going to share it. And you take it forward and you release this word out there, and then God uses the word. And the transformational power in that word gets released, and the Spirit of God acts upon it. And people you've never known that have probably been crying out all week or months for an answer from God, this scripture hits them. And they suddenly say, wow, God is reading my mail. It means nothing to you, everything for them. That's God speaking. That's you playing a part. That's you just simply telling forth the word of God. And everyone who owns a Bible can find words in here that God will bring to life. And all you need to do is share them. Just a little hint on sharing them. You know, you don't have to when you share a word of God, add, thus saith the Lord, on the end. You ever been in churches where they do that? You know? People don't seem to realize I'm prophesying here, so I'll say, thus saith the Lord. Suddenly moving back into King James English. It's weird. We're not weird people here. We are normal people. So you just need to share the word of God and that. And in other words, you don't have to put on your ecclesiastic voice. You know, drop it down a register or two because God is speaking. Oh, I got a reaction there. God says, the Lord has spoken. None of that stuff. That is weird behavior, guys. We don't need that in this church. You are all priests. You can all hear from God. You've all been given beautiful voices. So just be yourself. And it's got nothing to do with your delivery or the register in which you bring it. God's empowering of that word is all to do with his spirit. You know, one of the most powerful meetings I was at, a girl got up to share. She had English as her second language. So she had broken English. And she couldn't remember the words from her native language to English that was trying to explain what she felt. And she stuttered and she got the tense wrong and she got the pronunciation wrong. But somehow the message got out. And then God built a whole service around this broken, stuttering, sort of nervous, you know, people with a microphone, nervous sort of delivery. God used it, set people free, healed people. It was inspired leaders and everything, this broken word. Don't worry about how is it going to be received. You don't have to present it other than, this is the word of God I want to share with you. Yeah, like Ruthie did this morning, just simple word, simple, being Ruthie. Well, the last type is more of it's a combination of both, really. It can be either, and it's often found in praise and worship. And a good worship leader, you will see and you watch. You know, we've got some good worship leaders here in this church. And what they'll do is they might have four songs set for the morning, but they'll get to song number two and they pick up something's on this song. And then you'll just stay with it. And it's not they haven't forgotten the words that they keep going over the chorus nine times. You know? They've picked up something that God wants to do something over this song. You know? Not a broken record. It's something's happening. And a good worship leader will listen and sense the rhythms of the Spirit in a meeting. And then they will just maybe direct a little bit more on the drums. And the drummer will pick up a beat and it starts to warfare a little bit. And then suddenly someone will get up and they'll start praying for someone who's had a condition that has never been able to be overcome. And the church rises up and sort of just says, enough is enough. And people pray over it. And the whole spirit of the meeting rises in warfare. Other times they'll sense, no, enough drums. You know, it's the keyboards. And it's gentle. And it's comforting. And healing begins to flow. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. That prophetic worship. Now, I'm not very good at explaining it. I'm probably more, I'm better at recognizing it. Because to me, it's hard to put in words. You'll know it when you see it. And you'll know it when you hear it. It's a bit like a pile of sand. Everybody knows what it is. But you try and put that in words. You describe a pile of sand to someone. Very difficult. But that's the kind of thing we're going to see in our church. And when I talk prophecy, when I say eagerly desire, that's what I'm talking about. Eagerly desire to be one who shares the word of God and changes people's lives. Eagerly desire to make a difference in people's life. It's going to be a great church. Amen? It's going to be a great church when people do that. Does that mean that our meetings are going to go on and on and on and on while this goes on? No, it won't. We need to be wise people. A lot of the waiting on God, do it during the week. You've got time. Wait on God. Bring and share. God can do amazing things in a short amount of time. You know that? It's just about us being flexible in our expectation, we as leaders being flexible in the way we conduct the meeting, moving this way. Sometimes we might worship longer than what we do. Sometimes we might worship shorter. Sometimes communion might go longer. Sometimes we'll just do the same things we've done every meeting. We will pick up what God wants to do. And it's an exciting way to run a church. And I've been in churches like that, and I've walked in exhausted, needing a touch from God, and have walked out just on top of the world. We can do that every week. Amen? Who wants to be a part of church like that? Don't you worry about it. We as leaders will make sure we don't get weird, folks. Not into weird. Not into weird. Anthony's not into weird. Keith, oh, well, he's nice. Sorry, Keith. No. Now we'll make sure it doesn't get weird. We're here. We're committed to protect you people. And we're committed to grow you people in God, in the knowledge of God, and to let you live life to the full potential. You know, we were in the prayer meeting before the meeting, and I was just saying to the guys, you know, we've got to live like Elijah lived. You know, every minute of his life counted for something. And I think when he died, they buried his bones, and later some guy fell into his grave. And there was so much life in this guy that even when he was dead, he came back to life again. You read that story, it's quite incredible. We want to be people that live like that. That our lives count for every second. And that our legacy brings people to life even after we're dead. That's the kind of church we want to be. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Eagerly desire to prophesy. It's an attitude, and it starts here. Father, we stand before you, hearing how to conduct a meeting. Stand before you, having heard the kind of meetings we can have. How Paul, the great apostle who built so many churches and grew so many successful churches, would put this into a church and say, bring and share. Let the prophetic rise, he says. Above all, eagerly desire to prophesy. And Lord, we stand here, probably never done it before in our lives, some of us. But we stand in the Spirit and ask you, Father, here am I. Show me, train me, give me courage to come and share. Because I want to make a difference in this place. I want to bring refreshing. I want to work in that partnership of God's Word, God's Spirit, and be God's man for this hour. Lord, we look forward to next week when we've got this this meeting coming up in the evening where we're going to just be adventurous in the prophetic. Lord, if I've never spoken before, give me a word. Even if it's two words, even if it's Jesus wept, I want to bring it. Father, we want to be a great people. You've said our boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. We want to make this place a pleasant place of refreshing, and we want to take that refreshing everywhere we go. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Let's have some coffee together, fellowship. Good to see you all again. Don't rush off.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. If you would like more information about our church, visit centrallife.com.au.